It's super duper practical message today. I don't think my message is going to wow you, but it will change your life. Boy, I just gave that a big sell, didn't I? I don't think my message is going to be like, whoa, but it's going to, it has the power to change your life. Brooklyn, who's one of our young adults who attends, I told her, I said, when I was in your stage of life is when I heard this message, when I understood this biblical principle, and it changed my life. And so this week is a kind of a milestone for me. On Tuesday, I turned the big 4-0. I'll be 40 on Tuesday, right? You can make your birthday checks out to Pastor Matt Miller. I'll receive those. But I do turn 40 on Tuesday, and this, what I want to share with you, it's very timely because I learned this biblical principle and kind of these scriptures in my mid-20s. And it honestly shaped the direction of my life for the next almost 20 years. And I'm going to share that with you today. It's extremely powerful. It's extremely practical. And it's super simple. But it's also something that you have to do. Right? It's something you have to step into. We're in a series called Knuckleheads, and this series has been about moving, changing the direction of our life. That you guys, like sometimes we just keep experiencing the same thing over and over, and it's because you're a knucklehead. It's not because God is against you or God doesn't want you to win. It's because you continue to do the same things over and over again. And so there's a scripture that might be good for you this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, where God says to Moses, you've circled this mountain long enough, now turn north. And I'm hoping that today I help you turn north. I want to share two scriptures with you this morning. One is going to be from the Old Testament, and one will be from the New Testament. Let's start with the Old Testament scripture found in the book of Proverbs. If you're new to the Bible, if you would say, hey, I don't read my Bible a whole lot, but I would like to, I would say read a chapter of Proverbs every day. There's a chapter for you every day of the week. And so, man, just plow through that, and you're going to be like, wow, that's really insightful. That's some pretty smart stuff. And so we're going to give you one on Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. This is what Solomon writes. He says this, a shrewd person sees danger and hides himself, but the naive keep right on going and suffer for it. Now, I was, not because I was taught this, I've just always kind of understood for much of my life that being shrewd, wasn't a good quality. It doesn't sound like a good word, right? Being shrewd, I'm shrewd. Oh, you don't need to be shrewd. It sounds bad, right? But actually, shrewd is actually a really good word. I actually looked up the definition for you, right? You could have done this. I'm going to do it for you. Let me show you what shrewd means. Shrewd is having or showing sharp powers of judgment. If you're a shrewd person, you have or show sharp powers of judgment. Here's what it means to be naive, the opposite, right? Naive is showing a lack of wisdom, experience, or judgment. So shrewd, having sharp powers of judgment. Naive is having or lacking experience, wisdom, or judgment. And so let's play the game, would you rather, right? Maybe you play this game with your kids or with your friends, and well, I'm not going to do a gross one. Would you rather be shrewd or naive? If you'd rather be shrewd, raise your hand. Everybody raises their hand that wants to play the game, right? Like, I've never met anybody that says, hey, I'm really just hoping in my life to be naive. Right, to see danger and just walk right into it because that's the kind of person I am. That's not how we live. However, although you don't want to be naive, has anybody in the room ever kind of walked right into the pit, walked right in and bumped your head on life? That's why we're knuckleheads, right? We see the danger, but for whatever reason, we think we're indestructible. We hear the news reports, but we think, oh, that won't happen to us, and we just go right ahead and we suffer for it. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 22 to apply these definitions to what Solomon says. And he says, a sharp person who has judgment sees danger and hides himself. He gets out of the way of it. However, the person who lacks wisdom, experience, or judgment, man, they go on and they suffer for it. Unfortunately, some of us in this room are suffering right now. Again, not because God doesn't like you. It's because you were naive. You saw the warnings, excuse me, but you chose to ignore them, and you went right ahead. There's this tension between us not wanting to be naive, but also learning to be shrewd. Like, we got to step into that learning. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, Paul tells us, it's the New Testament. Paul says, be very careful how you live. I would love for somebody in the back to give me a cup of water. I'm going to die up here. Which, what a great place to die. Here or a hospital. Those are the two best places. Or a funeral home. Funeral home would be an even better place to die. Be very careful how you live. Look what Paul says. Now, that was free. This and from wisdom just pouring out of me this morning. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul wrote this to a bunch of church planters. Read that scripture with me. Take a quick look at it. What is the theme that you notice in that scripture? What is a theme that Paul is wanting to get across in those quick two verses? You can talk. Be wise. All right? Who agrees with wisdom being a theme in that one, right? Wisdom is a theme in that scripture. When you look in that scripture, do you see anything about being right or being wrong? Yes. Yes, and that's where I'm going to go this morning. So I hope to help you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. You're super sweet. Awesome. That coffee was not helping me out at all. So let's look at this. So Paul says, be very careful, right, how you live, not as unwise but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise, but understanding what the Lord's will is. And so that's the thing. How do we step into this area of wisdom? But here's how I think a lot of times in my life, if I'm not intentional, I make a lot of decisions based on, is this right or is this wrong? Is this right or is this wrong? Is this right or is this wrong? And honestly, very few of us make critical decisions in our life that question really matters. Like this morning, I don't think there's very many of you in the room who made a decision that was so heavy, right or wrong, that you could have gotten a ticket, a fine, or gone to jail or prison because of that decision. Like, I hope not. I hope when you went to Starbucks and got your coffee, you weren't considering, should I pay for this or rob Starbucks? I hope that wasn't like your choices. But most of us, we don't think that way, right? We just kind of process, well, it's right, so I guess I can do this. And what I want to share with you today is what I would call, I learned this in my mid-20s from a pastor that I was reading some books by and just kind of being encouraged by. And this question changed my life. The question that I'm going to give you today, I'm not trying to like over-present this, but it can be so powerful in your life. Like it can drastically change the direction of your life almost instantly if you will begin to ask yourself this question. I'm not even trying to hide it from you. It's right there in the insert. I didn't even give you a blank to fill in. Let's look at it. The best question in life isn't, is this right or wrong? The best question in life is asking, is this the wise thing for me to do? The best question in life isn't, is this right or wrong? The best question is this the wise thing for me to do? Now, I'm going to back up in the insert because some of you are losing your mind because I skipped a blank. Fear not, I'm going to help you. Right, Mr. Black? Okay, so my friend Mike Grubbs, he defines wisdom as this, knowledge applied. Knowledge applied. Wisdom is having the knowledge and then applying the knowledge. If you're a person who knows stuff, but yet you don't do stuff, that doesn't make you wise. The Bible says that makes you foolish. When you know what the right thing to do is, when you know when the wise thing to do is, when you kind of have all of this information at your disposal, and yet in spite of knowing, you choose to do something else, man, that's naive. That is foolishness fleshed out. And so I gave you a math problem. My kids are working on their math right now. And so the math problem is this. When you know it, plus you do it, that makes you wise. It gives you wisdom. Half of the equation doesn't make you wise. When you know it and when you do it, that's when you step into being a person who is expressing and growing in their wisdom. And so the best question isn't, is this right or is this wrong? The best question in life is asking, is this the wise thing for me to do? Now, I live my life kind of by these RPMs. I call them RPMs, okay? And they stand for this, relationships, parenting, money, rest, and Sabbath. And these are four issues where everybody in the room at least deals with three of them. If you don't have kids yet, you may not be parenting, right? Or maybe you're empty nesters and you're parenting differently. But for the majority of us in this room, most of those things apply to our life. We have relationships of all kinds. Your relationship may be your friends, maybe who you're dating. It may be who you work with. It could be your spouse, your in-laws. There's tons of relationships, right, that we always have to manage and that we always have to navigate. We all have, some of us have parenting. We all have money that we're trying to figure out. And we all have this idea of Sabbath and rest. Now, the great thing about this question and how we're going to break it down today is it is so beneficial to you, it doesn't matter what season of life you're in. Like Summer and Stanton Coe were back there, and their young guy Hudson was sitting on the very back row. And while you guys were worshiping, I leaned over to Hudson and I said, I want you to pay attention today because this message could be really good for you as a really young guy. I don't know how old Hudson Summer. He's 10. So as a 10-year-old, what would it look like if Hudson began to process, not mom and dad, what is right or wrong, but what is the wise thing for me to do? If you're in college, you're a young adult, or you're starting your career, man, what a great, great, great question to begin to apply to your life. For those of you who are just starting out in your marriage and you're starting to make some big purchases or considering making big purchases. For others of you who are trying to get your life back on track, that's why you're at church this morning. For those of you who are entering new seasons of life, like it doesn't matter if you're a baby or you're almost dead, this is a great question for you to apply to your life. Is this the wise thing for me to do? And here's why. Let's walk through relationships real quick. Did you know that there is nothing to do with right or wrong on whether or not you ask her out? Like if you ask that girl out this weekend, nobody's going to arrest you for that. There's nothing about right or wrong, wives in the room, if you choose to give your man a hug and the kiss on the way out the door. Like, if you don't do that, nobody's going to kick in your door and SWAT's not going to come in because you didn't kiss your man. Nobody's going to do that. Husbands, if you don't compliment your wife or maybe this week help her in something that she's trying to accomplish, nobody's going to mess with you because of that. It's not a right or wrong issue. For you guys who have buddies, I have buddies. It's not right or wrong whether you choose to hang out with them or not. Like, if you go hang out with your buds tonight and watch the game and all kinds of craziness is going on, that's not right or wrong. It has nothing to do with that. Think about your parenting. For those of us in the room who are parents, like, did you know that it's not against the law, nor is it right or wrong, based on right and wrong, that if you choose not to discipline your child, your kid's throwing a fit in Walmart and they're screaming at you, and you just ignore them and put, like, that's, nobody's going to say, hey, ma'am, you're going to jail because, nobody's going to do that. It's not right or wrong. If you choose not to pray or read or work with your kids on their spelling test, no, that's not right or wrong. There's nothing, like, you don't have to do any of those things. And nobody's going to say, hey, you're bad. No, nobody's going to do that. It's not right or wrong. Now, those two things real quick, I could say, well, is it wise? Is it wrong for you to have Ashley Madison app on your phone? Well, your wife or your husband might think so. But nobody's going to arrest you for downloading that app. Right? There are so many things that we just put through the filter. Well, there's nothing wrong. I didn't break any laws. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not going to get any kind of trouble for this. So it's just, I guess it's okay, right? Some of you are even so knuckleheadish that you go, well, I don't see anything in the Bible about downloading apps. So you could choose to go home today and get on your computer and search any type of website you want to, and it's not right or wrong. Like, you can have people that will argue either way. Now, I know some of you go, oh, no, that's right or wrong. I'm just telling you, there are people that will tell you, no, it's totally fine if you do this, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not talking about right or wrong, though, this morning, am I? I'm asking a deeper question. Is this the wise thing for me to do? What about money? Nobody's going to fine you if you're not generous. Nobody's going to take you to jail if you choose not to give donations or tithes and offerings to your church or to friends and family. Nobody's going to arrest you if you don't give money to the people who are suffering in Florida, in Houston, in the Virgin Islands. And nobody's going to do that. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. And where I'm trying to get you guys to understand is most of our decisions that you make on a daily basis have zero to do with right or wrong. But when you apply this filter, is this the wise thing for me to do? It changes everything. Now, here's the deal. We're going to turn the insert over, and I'm going to give you some layers. But here's what I already know. I'll tell you what people did last service. You already know in your heart and in your mind what the wise thing to do is. You already know. You did just what the people at 845 did. They nodded and they giggled. Because in your heart and mind, no matter what situation you think about, you already know what the wisdom is to do. But the reason you don't do what the wise thing is because typically the wise thing ain't what you want to do. And so we rationalize with ourselves, well, it ain't going to hurt nobody. It's not against the law. It's going to be okay. And we just plow right ahead doing with what we want to do, and we suffer for it. But the wise person, the person who is shrewd and he sees understanding, or she sees understanding down the road, and she begins to understand, hey, this is what could happen. That person, right, they hide themselves from danger. They hide themselves from debt. They hide themselves from having their heart broken. They hide themselves from being taken advantage of because they are shrewd and they look ahead and they say, wow, this wouldn't be the wise for me. But the naive person in the room says, oh, no. This has nothing to do with right or wrong. I'm just going to do it. And you suffer for it. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. Wisdom rules. So let's look at three layers I want to give you this morning based on this decision. Number one is this. Based on your past experiences, what is the wise thing for me to do? Thank you, Greg. I'll take that one too. I'll drink as much water as I can. Based on your past experiences, just by a show of hands, raise your hand if you've ever done something stupid when you were, like yesterday and on back. Stupid was too harsh, right? Some of you were like, no way, I've never done anything. Has anybody ever done anything unwise? Anything you wish you could take back? Hey, I won't do that again. I won't, man, I'll tell you what, I will not do that again. How many of us have said we won't do that again only to do that again? Yeah, right? So let's begin to apply this filter to our life. Based on my past experiences, man, what is the wise thing for me to do now? Again, you already know. I'm giving you a question that's going to frustrate the snot out of you. How about the second layer you can ask? Based on my current situation, what is the wise thing for me to do? Carrie had a heart attack. I am so grateful Carrie's not working this morning. She's on staff with us. I'm so glad she's not working. Carrie better not be working. Maybe you're just right. That it would not be wise for Carrie to be wrestling around and leading kids in Kids City. Now, that would be very unwise. Based on Carrie's current situation, what's the wise thing for her to do? Based on your current financial situation, is it wise for you to go buy that new shiny thing? I know you want it. I'm not asking you if you want it. I'm not even asking if you think you need it. I'm just asking you, based on your current situation, I know that iPhone X is awesome. Facial recognition, right? I'll have two things in my family that will listen to me, Alexa and my phone. It's going to be fantastic, right? Alexa, never mind. You guys don't know what that is. Or it's just not funny. Based on my current financial situations, what is the wise thing for me to do? How about this third one? This is my favorite one, my favorite filter. Based on my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Based on my future hopes and dreams, man, what is the wise thing for me to do right now? See, when you begin thinking like this, it changes your life immediately. It changes how you do your parenting. It changes how you do your marriage. It changes how you make friends. It changes how you hang out with people. It changes how you spend your time. It changes how you spend your money. When all of a sudden you begin to say, wow, where do I see myself going? Wow, what have I come from? Hey, what's going on today? What is the wise thing for me to do? Oh my goodness, will you be mad at me? Because I'm stealing your joy. Wisdom is not always fun. Wisdom is not always quick and easy. Wisdom isn't always, by the way, the direction of your friends and family. Can I tell you another secret that I learned when I was in my early 20s? The direction of your friends determines the direction of your life. The direction of your friends determines the direction of your life. I know this can blow some of your minds, but if you hang out with people who party every weekend, I'm guessing that you're probably partying every weekend. Am I saying you shouldn't party every weekend? I'm saying that it's not Christ-like to be a drunkard. I'm not saying don't drink your craft beer. Have a ball. Drink your craft beer with your craft cheese slices. I don't care what you do, right? But when you start crossing lines and you take the steps from I'm hanging out and having a beer with my buddies to I'm a drunkard, that's when I have issue, because that's not Christ-like. Is it wise? Is it wise? Now, when I was my first job in ministry, I was a student pastor. I worked with teenagers, and I want to. Can I tell you how this played out with them, and see if you can find transferable principles? I had a teenager, beautiful girl. She was like her junior or senior year, and a really, really pretty girl. And her parents just had, you know, I don't know how you. I'm not trying to judge people, but they would allow her and buy her clothes that were. All the boys really enjoyed it. They were tight-fitting, short-cut skirts. Her mom would buy them for her, and they were okay for her to wear. Like, her mom gave her permission to wear these type of clothing. But she heard me give this message one day. Based on my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Are you with me? Even though mama has said it's okay, maybe I should apply some wisdom. And she said, Matt, I feel like I need to change some things. I didn't tell her to quit wearing. I didn't tell her anything. I just asked this question, and she applies it to that situation in her life and shares that with me. I didn't call her out and say, hey, you. No. I'm not calling you out this morning. I'm asking you, what's it look like for you to apply this question in your life, and how might it alter the direction that you're walking? Had another young man who had these group of friends for much of his life, and they'd gotten into high school, And they, his friends had gotten started smoking marijuana and doing some other stuff, taking some pills and whatnot. And his parents had no idea because they'd been buddies ever since elementary through middle school. Now they're in high school. And there was, you know, they were still hanging out every weekend, a lot of times having sleepovers and that sort of thing, you know, just hanging out like they'd always done. And he's like, Pastor Matt, I don't know what to do. My mom and dad, like, they've told me that I can go, but I know what's going to happen when I get there. And I don't know what to do, but I also know that although I don't think it's right, I typically end up following and doing what they do. Well, he was asking this question, based on my future hopes and dreams, based on my current situation, based on what I know is going to happen, what's the wise thing for me to do? And he had to begin to step into the waters of making really hard decisions. I had that decision when I was a young guy. I didn't know how to get out of it. Had my buddies who started to get into some stuff that my dad was very clear to me that he would beat me up if I did. And I believed him. He had much more colorful language than what I just shared with you guys. And I got to where I worked as an assistant manager at a Taco Bell, and I would ask to close every Friday and Saturday night. That was my excuse. That's how I got out of being a jerk to my friends, because they were my buddies. But they were making decisions that I didn't see myself going down, and so I made myself unavailable to be with them. There were some Friday nights, by the way, young people in the room. There were some Friday nights, by the way, I lived at home, which I wasn't a big fan of that, but that was what I had to do at the time. There were some Friday nights, there were some Saturday nights that I sat at home and watched TV with my mom and dad. Super lame-o, right? Because that was the wise thing for me to do. Could I go out with my friends? Absolutely. I'm almost adult. I can do those things. But it wasn't the wise thing for me to do. Now just begin to apply those things into your life, into your adult life. Like when you think about where you see your life going, how is God going to help you get there? And if all you're waiting for is what's right or what's wrong, man, you need to surround yourself with wise people who are going to help you make the next best decision. My first mentor was a guy named Chad Wood. And he began to disciple me. He began to invest his life into my life. And he helped me grow up. He helped me grow up in making decisions. I share that with you because one of the things at New City, not only do we want to pray for you and encourage you, but we want to help walk with you through life. Life is not easy. Life is challenging. And everybody's got these things that they're walking through, and sometimes we're so narrow-focused that we don't allow other people into our lives until it's too late. I used Mike Grubbs a while ago. He's the guy that said wisdom is knowledge applied. Mike also does a lot of counseling for us here at New City Church, and he said this to me. He said, Matt, how I wish I could get your people before they're in crisis. How I wish I could get people that are kind of just doing tune-ups to their marriage, tune-ups to their work relationships, tune-ups to life, instead of when, man, things are just falling apart. See, wisdom in the room, by the way, okay, pay attention to this, please. Wisdom in the room says this: I understand as a human being that there is trouble headed my direction. Therefore, I'm going to be shrewd enough to surround myself with people who love and care about me. But the naive person will say this: eh, whatever. And you just plow ahead solo, and then when crisis comes upon you, you are grabbing for anybody that will help you. Please don't do that here. One of the ways that we do this for New City Church is that we are having an exploring discipleship small group that's starting up the first week of October. We're having it on two nights. Monday night, Pastor Casey's going to be teaching the exploring discipleship. If you have kids, child care is going to be provided. But you need to go online or on our app, and you need to fill out the registration form to attend that city group. It's 6 weeks long, starts the first week of October. We're also offering on Wednesday night, no child care provided. I'm going to be leading that one, okay? So Monday night, Pastor Casey. Wednesday night, me. Monday night, child care. Wednesday night, no child care. Please don't bring your kids on Wednesday night, okay? I'm just being honest. That's why we have the child care option. And we're doing that group to get you into environments where maybe you can meet someone who's one of our discipling leaders that is willing to walk with you. The shrewd person says, man, you know what? I might want to be prepared for this. I want to give you these last four things, and then we'll wrap up. Here are four questions that I want you to take with you today. Number one is this. Within my relationships, we're going to look at RPMs real quick. Within my relationships, it would be wise for me to apply this question, the best question to ask, to the following area. What's a current area of your life that is really messing with you right now? Is it your dating? Is it how you're treating your spouse? Is it how you're treating your boss or your employees? As a parent, the second one, it would be wise for me to apply this question to the following area. We're just going to do one for parents. based on who I want my child to become, what is the wise thing for me to do today? If the most important thing for you to, is that your kid at 13 can knock the snot out of a baseball, have a ball. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I want my son at 33 to be an asset to the world in which he lives. He's 6 right now. I hope he can hit a baseball. He can, actually. He's pretty good at it. Win-win. But as a father, and I've got my boy and I've got my twin girls that are 8, man, I am focused on what kind of young women do I want them to be and what kind of young man do I want to release in the world. Because one day, my kids are getting out of my house, right? They got to go. I love them, but woohoo, go. I didn't grow up until I left, by the way. I left home, went to South Florida, moved there. And that's when I grew up, when I had to buy my own groceries. That was weird. When my granny wasn't next door and couldn't give me money every time I was broke, that was hard. Let's look at money. Concerning my money, how might I apply this question to the following topics? Let's give you 3 because money is always a struggle. Have you decided the percentage of money that you will give back to God? If your immediate response is, Matt, I don't have to give money to God. You're right, you don't. You get to give money back to God. Because God has given, this is our theology at New City Church, God is so generous to us that we get to give a tithe and offering back to Him because we trust the provider more than the provision. But if you have to, God says to you, keep it. I don't need your money. It's an act of love. It's not an act of have to. I don't have to do anything. I get to. I don't have to worship. I get to worship. I don't have to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to hug you and shake your hand and love on you. I don't have to pray for people. I get to. I get to. Up to the second thing, do you have and follow a budget? Do you know what most people experience before they experience the budget? They experience empty pockets. Most shrewd broke people get a budget because you get tired of being broke. Most shrewd broke people say, you know what, I'm tired of worrying about what my neighbors do, and I'm going to start living within my own budget and with my own income. I can't keep up with the Joneses or the Millers or whoever. I'm going to keep up with me. And so they get a budget, and all of a sudden they are able to see that they can manage their life, that God is so sovereign and so in control of their life that they are totally able to live within their means and allow God to trust them with more. All you knuckleheads in the room who say, I don't want to give to God and I'm not going to live a budget, enjoy the mountain of being broke and never happy. Just being honest, you're going to circle it your entire life. And even as you get income raises and as you get promotions at work, you're going to blow everything that you get on yourself, and your mountain's just going to get bigger with more zeros behind it. But if you will be shrewd and say, whoa, 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 I don't need to spend everything on me. I'm not that important. Man, if you're God, and by the way, you're not, but if you were, let's pretend, for some of you it's really easy, if you were God, and you had somebody begging you and praying and pleading with you to increase their money, but you knew they weren't generous with any of it, would you give them more? But if you were God and you had somebody saying, Lord, I'd love to have more. I wish you would trust me with more. And God says, you know what? I think I can because you're already faithful with what little I give you. I think God says, hey, I think we can do something with that. How about this last one here? Are you about to make a large purchase? Based on my past, based on my current, based on my future hopes and dreams, is it the wise thing that I make this large purchase right now? How about last thing, Sabbath and rest? When I look at my schedule and my need for Sabbath and rest, it would be wise to ask, based on my current schedule, it would be wise for me to stop what? For those of you who are just too busy that you can't even take a day off, what is some wisdom in your life that you can stop something so that you can rest and relax and take care of yourself? Apply wisdom. By the way, no one ever said that applying wisdom is easy, right? Let's be encouraged finally by this scripture, and then I'll let you guys out of here. James, the brother of Jesus, the oldest book in the New Testament, he says this in James 1:5. But if anyone is deficient in wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it how so? Come on, read it, say it. He gives wisdom how? Generously. And look at this next part. And without reprimand. Not only does he give you wisdom, he gives it to you all that you need, and he doesn't say, gosh, quit asking. Or this is the last time, Chuck, last time. No. I love it when my kids need me. I love it when my kids want to climb into my lap and tell me about things, right? I even love it when I'm trying to watch my Miami Hurricanes play Toledo yesterday, and my son says, Daddy, will you pour me a glass of milk? right? That's my boy. I get to do that. I don't have to. And we get to ask our Father, if there's any area of your life that you're like, I don't know what to do, God says, James says, ask God for wisdom, who gives it generously, and he doesn't reprimand you for asking. And it will be given to him. Now, here's some work for you maybe. Read the next scripture. Because the next scripture says, but when you ask for wisdom, you got to trust God's response. You got to trust it. Because the person who asks and then doesn't believe what God shares with them or reveals to them is like a person who's like a wave tossed in the sea, and you're so unsettled you don't know which way to go or what to do. Church, what's the wise thing? What's your next wise step? It's good, right? That's what an awesome application, right? And a lot of you should say amen, because basic studies say that 50% of us are taking something, right? What is the wise thing for me to do? Not right or wrong. What is the wise thing for me to do? Amen? I'm going to pray that for us. As I pray, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward, and we're going to receive those connect cards and our tithes and offerings. I told you today, so many new faces, so many faces that I know, I'm not going to wow you. It's super practical, but I hope that you will apply it to your life. It will change the direction of your life instantly. So let's pray. Father God, may we truly be people who are wise. Amen. Wise. That not only do we understand a new truth or an ancient truth, but we apply it to our lives. Father, for the people in the room who are suffering because they've been naive in the past, I pray Romans, where Paul writes that you cause all things to work together for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So, Father, would you take our broken, mess, jacked up situation, and would you put it back together for your glory? For we love you and we're called according to your purpose. God, for those of us who are starting out and there's so many decisions that we're making, from who we're going to love to where we're going to work to family to homes to apartments, all of these things, would you give us wisdom so that we make the wise decision? And Lord, would you please protect us and keep us from doing the silly things? It's in Jesus' name that I pray this over us. Amen.